Zimbabwe and welcome to Live Talk Women's Roundtable, where we look at issues affecting women. We're coming to you live from Studio 7 at the Voice of America in Washington, and I'm your host, Marvelous Mhlanga Nyahuye. Today on Live Talk, we're looking at the International Day of the Girl Child and efforts being made by girl rights groups to safeguard the rights of young girls and ending early child marriages. But before we delve deep into our main topic, let's take a look at what is happening in the Middle East. U.S. Secretary of State Antony Blinken said Thursday that Israel had the right and the obligation to defend itself after the Hamas attack. He was speaking alongside Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu at a news conference in Tel Aviv. The number of U.S. citizens who have died in Israel-Hamas war has risen to at least 25, Blinken said, an increase from 22 on Wednesday. The U.S. State Department previously said at least 17 more Americans remain unaccounted for. The war, which has claimed more than 2,500 lives on both sides, is expected to escalate.
Hamas has only one agenda: to destroy Israel and to murder Jews. No country can or would tolerate the slaughter of its citizens, or simply return to the conditions that allowed it to take place. Israel has the right, indeed the obligation, to defend itself and to ensure that this never happens again. We democracies distinguish ourselves from terrorists by striving for a different standard, even when it's difficult, and holding ourselves to account when we fall short. Our humanity, the value that we place on human life and human dignity, that's what makes us who we are. And we count them among our greatest strengths. That's why it's so important to take every possible precaution to avoid harming civilians. Tragically, the number of innocent lives claimed by Hamas's heinous attacks continues to rise. Among those, we now know that at least 25 American citizens were killed. We join families in Israel, in the United States, around the world, in mourning their immeasurable loss.
As Hamas militants and rockets entered Israel Saturday, so too did a barrage of disinformation on the conflict in being fought not only on the ground but also on the internet. VOA's Robin Guest has the story.
Bombings and airstrikes blast targets across Israel and Gaza following Hamas's deadly terror attack on Israel Saturday and Israel's counteroffensive. At the same time, disinformation about the conflict exploded online with a force that has shocked analysts.
It is worse than the lead-up or following January 6th. It's worse than the height of the COVID-19 pandemic or vaccination rollouts. This is just quite frankly the most intense amount of misinformation that I've seen spread on social media as far back as I can remember.
Among the posts going viral on platforms like TikTok and X that groups like MediaWise are working to debunk is this fake video clip. It claims that Ukraine smuggles weapons to Hamas, and it has racked up close to 1 million views, but the post and video are false. Another shows children in cages and claims that they are Israelis kidnapped by Hamas, but watchdogs found that the video was posted on TikTok days before Saturday's attack. And in this last example, both the post and the reporter are fake. The BBC has neither a correspondent by the name of Verona Mark, nor a talk show called American Inside. X later suspended the account for violating platform rules. In an active conflict zone, journalists can't always access the hardest hit areas, which creates information voids, and disinformation often fills that vacuum.
It means that a lot of the misinformation and propaganda online can undermine efforts for, you know, timely, accurate information that the public needs and also millions around the world.
Social media can help journalists broadcast the truth, but it can also allow false news to flourish. Some media experts have pointed out changes at X, formerly Twitter, including its staffing cuts that have resulted in the spread of disinformation.
I think by habit, a lot of journalists like myself and then a lot of regular people flocked to X, formerly Twitter, to find out what was happening with the Israel-Hamas war. Now, unfortunately, the new X, the entire trust and safety team has been essentially gutted, so you're not seeing the same amount of staffing that were involved with pulling down mis- and disinformation and moderating even violent and hateful conduct.
The European Union on Tuesday reminded ex-owner Elon Musk and social media platforms of their legal requirements to not share such content. Musk replied via X saying, his platform was transparent, and he called on the EU to list the alleged violations. Meanwhile, amid such a band of disinformation about the conflict, journalists must sort fact from fiction to ensure audiences have access to credible news. Robin Guess, VOA News.
Liam Scott contributed to this report filed by Robin Guess. In Zimbabwe, eyebrows were raised when three lawmakers from the opposition Citizens Coalition for Change were seen attending a parliamentary meeting following reports that the opposition would disengage for 14 days. This was revealed by party leader Nelson Chamisa after his 24 lawmakers had been expelled from parliament at the instigation of one virtually unknown person, Sevenzo Chabangu, who is calling himself the interim Secretary General of the CCC. But CCC Chief Whip in Parliament, Amos Chibaya, told reporters that today he and other members of his party went to Parliament to inform the Speaker about their disengagement stance.
I want to state clearly and categorically that there is no way I can defy myself, because I'm an organization of CCC. What happened is that yesterday with our own Citizen National Assembly meeting, which came up with various resolutions, among the resolutions is disengagement from Parliament, disengagement from local authorities. Then the other demand again to the Speaker is that he must reinstate all the MPs who were recalled, simply because the person who recalled them is not a member of CCC, does not belong to our party CCC. It has got no local stance to recall our MPs.
Mm. So did you deliver your letter to the Speaker?
Yes, I did deliver the letter.
So when should your members reach in Parliament, your supporters?
We are waiting for his response to our letter, but we are also taking various actions. That includes legal action, diplomatic action, and also a political action.
That there was CCC Chief Whip in Parliament, Amos Chibaya, in Harare. Please stay tuned as we take a brief break.
In times of change, when the world seems uncertain, and what we hear doesn't reflect what we see, we seek the truth. When we are told only part of the story, we lose trust. In moments of crisis, our dreams, hopes, and wishes for a better tomorrow depend on a free press. At Voice of America, we bring you the stories that people take risks to see. We connect the world and unite it with truth. At Voice of America, we show you the whole picture.
for those that have just joined us, please note that we are streaming live on all our Facebook pages, VOA Shona, VOA Studio 7, and VOA Ndebele. We're also live on YouTube at VOA Zimbabwe. Now, back to our main topic. Girls' rights groups are calling on the government to intensify awareness programs of some of the laws that were enacted to protect the rights of girls. This year's International Day of the Girl Child comes at a time when there has been an increase in the number of early child marriages in the country, exacerbated by the continued economic decline. The United Nations says the day's main focus is to address the challenges that girls face and to promote girls' empowerment and the fulfillment of their human rights. And to discuss the International Day of the Girl Child, we are joined by former African Union Goodwill Ambassador to End Early Child Marriages and Rosaria Memorial Trust Director Nyarazai Gumbonjanda, and Ekenia Chifamba, the Director of Shamari Yemanaskana. While we'll also be joined by Evanice Monando of the Female Students Trust Network and Lucy Ndongwe of MTC Educated Girl later on. Welcome to the program, ladies.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you. I'll start off with you, Dr. Gumbonjanda. We are seeing this year's Day of the Girl Child being celebrated in a time when we understand that there's been an escalation of early child marriages in the country. What's your take?
It is still worrisome that we continue to see a violation of the girls. And this year's theme was focusing on rights, leadership, and well-being. And for us at Rosaria Memorial Trust, we run a community space for girls, for over 2,500 girls, and we also run a shelter. And so this year it was very evident that we must step up for the implementation of the existing laws. We have the laws, but what is not happening is the implementation of those laws and the challenges of access to services for girls, especially in rural areas. This year, as we observed the International Day of the Girl, we had some of our girls speaking at the United Nations, like Sidney Moore. We had others who were in the SADC meeting. And we also had others who were at the meeting with leaders and in our village. So we covered the spectrum of faces. But what is very evident is that girls are telling their stories. The stories are known. The abuses are known to be happening. But we don't have sufficient efforts to prevent and sufficient efforts to also rebuild the lives of the girls who had experienced child marriage, teenage pregnancy, and sexual abuse.
Thank you very much. And I'll come to you, Amai and Kenia Chifamba of Shamari Yemanaskana. What's your take on how this year's Girl Child Day is being commemorated? What were the major highlights?
So for us, nevertheless, at Shamari Yemanaskana, we had a number of exhibitors and spaces that we participated in commemoration of the International Day of the Girl Child. We had the privilege of being hosted by Stay Kind of Girl Theatres together with Agape for our girls from our number of platforms, Seke Rural and also Chipungiza, to watch a movie on human trafficking, since we were focusing on girls' rights and also their well-being, just raising awareness on human trafficking, given the crisis that we are currently facing as a nation and also at a global level, that is also not sparing our young girls. And then we had the opportunity to also join Rosaria Memorial Trust and also SAT for a webinar which was focusing on child marriages. And like what Dr. Gumbonjande said, it was also looking at the gaps that are in existence with regards to implementation of the laws that are in existence in Zimbabwe. We joined also the Gender Commission on the report and the inquiry of the status of child marriages in Zimbabwe, which was prompted by the Anna Machaya case that made a lot of noise in Zimbabwe a few years ago. So we had a number of these initiatives that we joined, and the good thing is that the girls themselves were also taking part, taking the lead, and making their voices heard.
And from the girls themselves, what exactly are they saying are the major challenges that they are facing living in Zimbabwe and being girl children?
So in Zimbabwe, I was just having another interview in the morning, and someone was asking me whether challenges that are being faced the girls are different because of their backgrounds. Girls who are coming from both rural and urban areas are being faced by almost similar challenges, but the difference being the background that they are coming from, opportunities that they get as well. With child marriages being the topical issue that is affecting our young women and girls, especially in the rural areas, where we are seeing girls being burdened with the responsibility of motherhood at an early age, depriving them of enjoying their childhood. And the moment we start talking about child marriages, we cannot ignore the component of sexual reproductive health and rights. We can't ignore also the issue of HIV and AIDS, the backyard abortions that are happening, and also issues of mental health. So it becomes cross-cutting, not to mention girls who are failing to access education or have the opportunity of being reinstated into school, though we do have the Education Amendment Act that is in place.
Coming back to you, Amai Gumbonjanda, what are some of the challenges that young girls in the rural areas are facing? You work with them day to day. Take us through what they are seeing as the major challenges and how these can be addressed. Hello, Dr. Gumbonjanda, if you're still on the line.
Yes, I am.
Go ahead.
In the rural areas, yes, we start just by basic access to services.
Mm-hmm.
Some girls walk long distances to just go to school. If we take Murewa district as an example, and following on what has been said from the experience of Shamari Manaskan, Murewa district is only 2 secondary schools, which are government secondary schools, Tambarani and Chemondoro.
Mm-hmm.
They're talking of the whole district, and these are fun boarding schools. The rest that we have, like Norway or Murewa or St. Paul's, these are mission schools that are also expensive. So essentially, girls do not have access, easy access to education when they are also adolescents, because the skills are, the distance is high. So the issue of services is one. Secondly, it's also the issue of talking about sexual and reproductive health and rights, talking about their bodies, about dating, relationships. And that is a major discussion, because a lot of this happens in school. But it may be just a subject, and we know that the guidance and counseling section within the school is the least resolved.
Mm-hmm.
So our girls are growing up without sufficient information about decisions making about their own bodies and making relationships. This is why many of organizations, including those present, they said, let's start community-rooted initiatives like our Nanga initiatives, our girls' spaces, where we can provide age-appropriate
and relevant scientific information to the girls. The others near poverty, because of poverty. And it's unacceptable because Zimbabwe is very rich. We have, I hear always of the 60 unique minerals, from gold to diamond to lithium. So I find it very hard to believe that we can marry our children, and yet so the challenge is the girls in rural areas are facing is that they don't have access to the basic survivals which should be provided, and economic and household poverty. It tries drives them to get out of school or then to go into risky behaviors or to simply be married early. On what is happening, and I think it's also the issue of social norms, I work to still have embedded, ingrained, strong religious practices where girls are getting it. And we need to say nobody is above the law. And equally with our social norms, culture is there to protect some of the traditional leaders who are now taking positive action. The role of the chiefs or the role of the traditional leaders or the role of the church leaders is to be protectors of girls and not perpetrators of abuse.
Mm-hmm.
We need to shift the narrative. And that protector attitude is so important so that they are not perpetrators, because what we've seen is people in authority being irresponsible. And I think the last challenge in rural areas
thank
is
you.
More caricature.
Mm-hmm. Tinoona amai gumbonjanda kuti mataura imi kuti kune matambudziko akasiyana ari kumaruva neari mumadhorobha. Pane zvingaitwa here kugadzirisa matambudziko iwaya? Zvii zvingaitwa?
Yes, there are very practical solutions that can be taken. I think the first is just to make sure girls remain in school. It's very practical. Education is a right. And vana ngavarambe vari muchikoro. Izvozvo, it is very, very important. Education is protection. Secondly, economic empowerment for women and also for the girls is important.
Mm-hmm.
Even culturally.
Thank you so much.
Even culturally.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Thank you so much, Dr. Gumbonjanda. Let's now go to Lucy Ndongwe Chikowere, who is here in the United States, and she has a daughter who has been actively participating in some sports with young girls in Zimbabwe. Welcome to the program, Lucy.
Thank you,
Sismar. Can you tell us a little bit about how this day, what it means for you and your organization that is helping young girls in Zimbabwe?
The girls, actually my daughter started in an organization called MPC Educate a Girl Inc. or Educate a Girl Foundation that works with girls in rural Zimbabwe. And she actually encourages girls to play sports and in particular challenge the social norms of actually playing soccer in rural communities. So this day means that we need to amplify the voices of these young people, because as we speak currently, since we started playing soccer in the rural communities, we have about 5 girls who are now playing in the Women's Premier League and who were identified at our tournaments that we do. So we celebrate International Day of the Girl Child through sports, through playing soccer. And this year we're going to be playing in Mondoro, Ngezi area, and in the Chimanimani area as well.
Thank you there, my Lucy Ndongwe Chikowera. I'll come to you, my Chifamba. Zvizvi mwezva munofunga kuti zvinofanira kuitwa? Taona muchichema-chema kuti mitemo iripo inogona kuchengetedza kodzero dzemwanasikana, asi haisi kunyatsowanikwa ichiita zvainofanira kuita. Ndeipi mitemo iyi uye zvainofanira kunge ichiita sei?
Tine mitemo yakati wandei yakaitwa nevagadziri vemutemo muZimbabwe kuchengetedza kodzero dzevanasikana.
Mm-hmm.
Kutotangira kune iro bumbiro redu remutemo chairo yatinoti Constitution, takaona kwa kauya Children's Rights Act, kukauya Marriage Act ya kagadris kwa iyo, kukauya Education Amendment Act, jina jinja tino kuja nikutenda jikuruta. Atutiko ya makuti, ito kutanga chiri kutosha eko ruzivo, remi temo ii kutenguriko, kuna wanu vemuna raunda ni mjimbo, matino shanda tiri matiri. Dr. Gumbo Njamba vambotara kwa mruwa kweduka tino shanda nao. Kutuona chakari kutimaruwa mama tino shanda kumama chie duko, nukumama mutari. Mama alakozi kutimitemu ya katase ii ino wanika. Ndakambo yenga kuneine mjimbo kumaruwa. Kumasebeleme nduko. Kutuona wano wazizisi wari kutuona ndija wana waka shitakura. Nima anava chango bara kutivadze kire kuchikoro kubudikiza ni Education Amendment Act. Shinotoro wa kutipane ukaa uripo usiru kukwanisa kutivandi wa chiziwa. So ita wa shakari nyae kuti mitema yacho ii yaka naka ili kuhuya ili kufana kubasira isu. Asi apana kugaziwa ushandwa unobasira kuti mitema yi inge ichirondwa nikutenga. Kuti yoneko kuti ine zvibodzwa kwa here zvairi kutibatsira pane shanduko here pachiri paine mukaha ndepapi uye ndezvipi zvinoda kubatsirwa. Makaona pakaitwa National Action Plan on Ending Child Marriages, takaona kuti pakaitika nyaya ana machaya kwakaitwa chitsatsa pake chekuti Gender Commission inge ichita tsvakirizei kuti nyaya dzekurodzwa kwevana dziri kumbonyatsofamba sei. Zvii zviri kuitika kukabuda zvakawanda nyaizi masowe asiri kunge achitevedzwa nekuiswa pamutemo ari kungotora vana paadira. Nedzimwe nyaya dzakasiyana siyana dziri kubuda dzinosanganisira vana vari kuitisana pamuviri vari vana. Saka tinoda kuti zvaingabatsira kuti kurambe kuchirondwa mitemo iyi kuti ite varotera kudai saiwo ana Gender Commission ava kuti tiyatoziya kuti chimwe zviri kutibatsira here kana kuti tichine mitunhu inoda kufamba.
Thank you. I'm just going to quickly take our last guest, Eva Nice Monando of the Female Students Network, so we can hear what is happening in schools and what this day means for those young girls in school. Welcome to the program, Mai Monando. Taurai. Hello, Eva Nice. Yes, thank you. If you can just give us, unfortunately, we got you at the bitter end of the show, but you can just tell us what this day means for students under your leadership.
Oh, yeah, all right. Yeah, as female students, yes, we are training female students, especially those who are in leadership, because we believe that their female students should be part of the decision-making processes across the board. So we are training them and giving them mentors to train them further so that they are effective in their leadership, be it at college level, even beyond the college. And I'm really happy that this time around, the outcome of the elections, most of the young girls were elected to the highest position of the decision-making process. And so that's our mandate as FSNT to really mentor these young girls so that they effectively deliver in the office of influence. So what we are doing is that we have identified mentors who are alumni of the network, and these are also taking care of these young, even aspiring students and already those who are in the decision-making process. So it's, the mentorship is across the board. It's about leadership. It's about also the well-being of students. It's about also the career guidance. To say,
thank you. Thank you so much there, my Eva Nice Monando. Today we had, you know, really powerful women who are fighting for the cause of young girls. So we'd like to thank you, all our guests who we had tonight, and also thank all those viewers that were on this program. That brings us to the end of our show. Signing off in Washington, I'm Marvelous Mhlanga Nyahuye, saying have a very good night. We'll be right back.